Yo, what's going on, good people? Welcome back to the Gospel Fantasy Sports Show. We have a lot to go over today. A little bit of stuff in the news, but we're going to be breaking down the NFC West. What exactly will they have to offer for fantasy this year? I am your host, Zeta, the Fantasy Football Fiend, and I have my guy, Young Vander, the Fantasy Nostradamus. Holla at the people, my guy.
Hey, what's going on out there?
All righty. So remember, you guys can see us on YouTube at the Gospel STP. Again, that's at the Gospel STP. Let's go right ahead and hop into it. A little bit of news, not a whole lot going on. Derek Carr is officially retired. CJ Stroud is managing a sore throwing shoulder, but it shouldn't be anything that will linger throughout the year. This bit of news. At first, I'm just like, of course he is. But I'm kind of interested in what's going on in Indy right now. The news is just basically indicating that Anthony Richardson is ready to compete with Daniel Jones. But the way that it's being delivered is it's Jones's job, and Richardson is now competing to see whether or not he can take the job from Jones. Is that the way you see it? Going into the OTAs and going into the season, or do you think that it's Richardson's job to lose? And who would you prefer to have as far as fantasy is concerned?
No, I think it's Daniel Jones' job. I thought he was brought in to be the starter and at the same time push Anthony Richardson. So I think going into it, it's Daniel Jones' job and it's Anthony Richardson's job to take it back. But I think Daniel Jones is going to get the first crack at it when it comes down to who's going to be the starter. And be honest with you, I think Anthony Richardson not only playing for a possibility to be the starter, but he's also playing for, are you going to be on this roster any much longer? In all honesty. So that's what he's really playing for at this point.
Mason Rudolph is starting out OTAs as the number one quarterback for Pittsburgh. Is Pittsburgh painting themselves into a Mason Rudolph corner, or are they still the damsel in distress, hoping that the Prince Charming Aaron Rodgers is going to come save them?
I don't know. I think the clock seems like it's already struck 12. In my opinion, I mean, OTAs are starting. Like, when are you? This is a new offense. You know what I'm saying? So you're not going back to the Packers or going back to the Jets, to a team that you have some familiarity with the offense now. He's a smart guy, smart quarterback. I think he can probably catch on quickly. But at the same time, you know, you want to get chemistry. You have all new pass catches and things of that nature. So, and he doesn't sound too, you know, enthused or bought in about even playing this year unless it was for a particular team. I thought he was really holding out for like a Minnesota or something like that. I think if Minnesota was looking, he'll be there already. And I think them trading George Pickens didn't make it no better. Took another weapon away.
It
So
did.
at this point,
It definitely did.
it's, you know, Pittsburgh, you're getting what you deserve. Because you was one of those teams you went to the draft. And again, going back to like a Shedeur Sanders, you let him go past your face how many rounds? And you could have had at least first round type of quarterback there to at least compete. But Mason Rudolph, like, nah, this is horrible. This is a horrible way for Mike Tomlin to go out because he gonna go out. I think he, and it's funny, hasn't had a losing season at all, but he can get fired after this year. This is the type of season to get you fired.
You're not wrong. Another bit of information that was somewhat fascinating slash puzzling to me. Broncos head coach Sean Payton said on Thursday that Audric Estime is a type of running back that requires touches, and he just didn't have enough touches as a rookie. Does that give you any cause for pause for RJ Harvey? Because the coach is essentially saying that Estime is actually even better than what we showed you last year. We just didn't give him enough touches. The touches that will be left over, if they do give him enough, will that be enough for RJ Harvey to be fantasy worthy, or is this just coach speak for OTAs?
Nah, I think two things can be true. You know, that's one of my favorite sayings. You look at Harvey like you look at Harvey. Let's go back to Sean Payton in New Orleans, where he had two running backs finish top 10 overall in fantasy, if you remember, in Kamara and Ingram. Both of them was in the top 10. So two things can be true. Harvey can be successful fantasy-wise, a fantasy option. I think this says more to the McLaurin thing. Like, hey, y'all two guys are battling out for this second role. Who's going to be the two guys? I got Harvey. Is it going to be Estime or McLaurin? So I think McLaurin, this is more of bad news for him, for his sake, as far as Estime getting touches, because I think Harvey is already in the driver's seat. I just think he's wanting to see who's going to be accompanying him on this ride.
Ray Davis is taking advantage of Cook not being at practice. James Cook is holding out voluntary team practices. That was based on him not having his desired contract extension. But Davis is looking good with the first team. And when he had his opportunity last year, when he was working into the offense, he looked pretty good. How do we feel things may work out in this situation? Is this just a, I'm going to hold out until I can't for Cook? Can you foresee this being a standing on principle type of deal and we might not see Cook, which means you might want to stash or attempt to go get Davis if you're a dynasty guy, or pay attention, obviously, from now until the time that it matters as far as redraft? But what's your outlook as far as Buffalo's run game is concerned?
I think Cook is going to stand on business. I really think this holdout can go into the season. I'm not saying he's going to miss the whole season. He may, you know, report in time enough to get that eligibility for the year. But I can see it very well trickling into the season. I want to say Davis had maybe 6 touchdowns last year, something like that, of that nature. So he's no stranger to this offense. Second year out of Kentucky. So I think he'll be – and, again, you may be too late to the party. I kind of seen this thing playing out a long time ago. So – I've been a Ray Davis owner already, as far as in dynasty leagues and things like that nature. But if not, try to go get him. And if you do have him, maybe you can make a sweet deal with the Cook's owner as we get closer to the season starting. So there's a couple things you could do with that. I think you may see a little bit of Ty Johnson sprinkle in there as well. Yeah, and let's also see if they pick up any cut tees coming up, because you already know there's going to be some guys on some other rosters that may get cut that could be viable, and then they may go out and bring them in as well. And that's probably going to be more of a telltale story about how this James Cook saga is going to end.
And actually, now that you bring that up, let me ask you about that real quickly. It's June 3rd, and we haven't seen any post-June 1 cuts. Are you surprised by that? That there was no one that was just waiting for June 1st to get here to start, you know, cutting bait with players? Or is there another date that we should be looking at as far as when it's likely to actually start to happen?
I'm a little surprised. But again, I mean, just because the date is the start date doesn't mean it's going to happen on the very first day, right? But any day now, moving forward, as we get a little closer into camp, there's going to be some guys popping up. So right now, I think a lot of teams are trying to see if they can make little trades here and there, last minute ditches. And if not, then that's when you're going to start seeing the hammer coming down on some of these guys.
Coach Andy Reid said on Thursday that Isaiah Pacheco looks tremendous. He's put on some good weight, and his outlook for the season is looking bright. When he's healthy, he's a beast. So, I mean, I can see why Coach Andy Reid would have such glowing comments about him. But the issue then becomes is, can the weight and maybe good fortune keep him out of the tent on the sideline? Or weight isn't going to really help him much, and he's just one of those guys. We've had other guys that we felt the same way about, but then they were able to turn it around, such as a James Conner, for instance. the majority of his stint with Pittsburgh was marred by injury, but then he got to Arizona and it's like we were waiting for the, you know, the carriage to turn into a pumpkin or for that other shoe to fall, and he just kept holding it in the road. So do you see that range of outcome for an Isaiah Pacheco type, or what are we looking at here for the prognosis of Pacheco going forward?
Oh, I think he'll get the first crack at everything. And it's all based on injury, I guess. If he can hold up, he runs very violent. If you see the way he runs extremely hard, extremely violent. And I think that's the reason why we've seen so many injuries with him thus far in his career. I think the guy really to watch is in this thing is maybe Breshard Smith, the rookie, who's a former wide receiver. He's probably the best. He's definitely the best pass catcher in this group. He's kind of like Jarrett McKinnon 2.0. So if you're in a PPR league, he'd probably be the guy to go after. But the early down work could probably be Pacheco and a little bit of Kareem Hunt at this point. But if I'm a Pacheco owner, I'm really trying to get off of him, to be honest with you. I don't want to wait till it explodes and then, you know, so while he's healthy and some good news is coming in, I'm trying to sell this guy. He's a sell for me.
Moving on over to wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, he had a lot going on during voluntary OTAs that he ended up being present for, but prior to getting there, there was a controversial video. I'm sure you guys, if you're on social media, you have either seen it or heard about it minimally. And there was some talk out there about him possibly being cut, or, you know, there had been a scenario where the Patriots may have had some other issues that were going on with him, and this may be like the straw that breaks the camel's back. That's been debunked after the first day of OTAs, where he showed up and was basically helping all the wide receivers figure out how to actually play the position, more so than the wide receiver coach was. How are we looking at Diggs? I think the reason I need your guidance on this, if you will, is because I just want to make sure that I'm not looking through rose-colored glasses of fandomhood, been a Patriot fan. But I really feel like Stephon Diggs this year may be the wide receiver with the most value. And the reason I say that is because for this man to be out there working with no restrictions, not even a full year after suffering the injury that he suffered, I do understand he's 31 years old. That's perfect. Okay. But he's out there cooking it. And you can get him, and he doesn't have very much competition for targets. So he's the type of guy that you can get if you don't go wide receiver heavy or early. And you maybe in redraft, you go ahead and you get that running back, or you get that quarterback because it's a super flex, or you go ahead and get that tight end because it's a premium and a super flex, whatever the case may be. And you're looking around and saying, okay, now who can I get at wide receiver that in their range of outcomes is still wide receiver one? And Diggs this year for me is quintessentially that guy. Mm-hmm. What are your outlooks in range of outcome as far as Diggs?
I love Diggs, man. Actually, I've always been a fan of him, so I've always been rooting for him. You remember last year, I was rooting for him when he first got to Houston. I thought he's going to take over that room. But him getting back to the number one guy, the ability is there. I'm not really worried about the ACL, per se, because it's not what it used to be. You can watch some of the footage in camp. He looks more spry than some of the younger guys. Looks a lot quicker than a lot of the younger guys that's there. He does have McDaniel, somebody that can't put him in position to succeed. So I do think he's a great value. I don't think he'd be a wide receiver one overall, but I do think, you know, he can finish at two. And that's still a great value from where he's being drafted. So I don't really have no problem with Diggs. I just thought some of the off the – it's not really the off-the-field things, but it's just some of the things that was – it didn't look right. And at this day and age, sometimes people could take things and blow them out of proportion. And, you know, you never know. So I was thinking that was a possibility. But it seems that McDaniels, he's come out and said he didn't have any issues with Diggs at all. And Diggs just one of them guys, I think, once he's in the locker room, you know, he's probably a good locker room guy. You know, people like him. But then if you don't know him, you may have a perception of who he is just based off pitch, stuff like that. So, but no, I think he's extreme value. He's getting drafted as far as his draft position. So I'm still rooting for him. I think he can have a good year.
And lastly, with the news, Kyle Pitts is a very hot name right now. Apparently, several teams are inquiring with the Falcons as far as his services are concerned. And believe it or not, I know it seems as if he's disappointed you for years and years and years. This guy's 24 years old. You got people that are coming into the league this year that are as old as he is and at a position that is a little bit more difficult to come to the full fruition in most cases. But a lot of the teams that are checking for him are teams that would actually utilize him in the way that we thought the Falcons were going to based on where they drafted him. So how are we feeling about Kyle Pitts? Is this a where there's smoke, there's fire thing, and he may be traded if he goes to the right team that uses him the way that he was being used for several weeks last year with Kirk Cousins at the helm? He finally kind of started to look like what we were hoping for, and then things just kind of turned sour once the Kirk Cousins injury happened and all that kind of good stuff. But there's several teams that are checking for him. How do you think this ends up working out?
Biggie Small said, credit, dead it. You think a crackhead paying you back, forget it. Leave that man alone. Stay away from Pitts, man. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Don't do it. Don't do it. I don't care what news came out. I see some news came out saying that he has an undisclosed injury at this point. So I'm just buyer be, man, leave this dude alone. Don't be fooled by, oh, teams are trying to trade for him. And the Patriots and everybody got this idea of, oh, it could be Aaron Hernandez all over again. It could be. No. Stay away from this guy. No. Just stay away from him. The Atlanta Falcons made a mistake drafting him, number one, because they picked him in front of Ja'Marr Chase in that draft. And then, two, his confidence. I think he was a hell of a prospect with ability and all that. But over the years, guys like Arthur Smith has crushed his dude confidence. I just don't think he's the player today that he was when he first walked in the NFL, if that makes sense. So just stay away from him, man. I know it looks good. Everybody been dreaming. You've been dreaming for a long time. The last 3 years, you've been thinking he's about to blow up. He's about to blow up. Stay away from him, man. Don't do it.
And my advice is buy low.
And if you sell them, I think if somebody's coming, if somebody's, you know, jacking the news and they go, sure, yeah, here you go, and go ahead and get off of them. But I'm not searching for them. I'm a seller in that aspect, not a buyer.
I actually like his prognosis, depending upon landing spot. I do. I don't think that he will ever live up to where he was drafted, just so on the same page. But with the helter-skelter landscape of tight end and fantasy world, I can see him being one that, because of his history, you being able to either buy low on or draft really late, almost punting the position, and having a guy that, depending on where he goes, it's certain teams out there right now that's talking about trading for him to be a wide receiver, essentially. Every time he's been given opportunity to catch the ball, he's been able to do it, but the Falcons just never really focused on him as far as game plan is concerned. I think there are a couple of teams out there that, for instance, the Steelers, they're short on wide receivers, and Pat Freiermuth hasn't lived up to the billing there. And with all the deficiencies of the OC there, one of the things that he's always done is utilize the tight end.
Didn't I just tell you who was the guy that destroyed him? Who did I tell you destroyed him? Who did I tell you destroyed his confidence? And you're going to feed him right back to the monster.
I mean, but this is coming from the same person that said, go run and go get Pat Freiermuth because of who the new offensive coordinator is, though.
Yeah, but he has his style of tight end he likes. Again, I'm not saying don't get Jonnu Smith.
And also keep in mind, too, when Arthur Smith was there, he didn't have a semblance of a quarterback like he did.
He got one now?
Well, that's true, too. But I tell you this, Mason Rudolph, he's a guy that he's more likely to throw to the tight end than to throw to any other wide receiver. So
now I'm trusting Mason Rudolph. I wouldn't trust Mason Rudolph to watch my son. You know what I'm saying? No, not at all, man. We just not doing that. Stay away. I'm telling you, don't fall for it, man. Stay away from this dude. Stay away from him.
Let's go ahead and hop into the main topic for today, which is the NFC West. We went over the NFC East on last week. We're going over the NFC West on this week. And we'll probably go to the NFC North on next week, but that is yet to come. Breaking down, I guess we'll start out with the Arizona Cardinals. Obviously, we have Kyler Murray there at quarterback. His wide receivers, starter is Zay Jones, Marvin Harrison Jr., Michael Wilson, and then at tight end, Trey McBride. As far as running backs are concerned, we have James Conner, Trey Benson backing him up with Amari DeMarcado as the third in line there. Where do you want to start as far as Arizona is concerned? Who do you feel most comfortable with? Who do you think may take a leap? Who do you think may not be as good as their current as the current thought of them is? Where are we at with this team?
As far as the most comfortable, I'm going to say McBride. Okay. He seems to be one of the favorite targets of Kyler Murray, especially with the way the tight end position is in fantasy right now. I think he's probably the best buy. As far as taking a leap, I'm hoping. It should be Marvin Harrison. He should take the leap, but his quarterback, I'm not sure if he's going to allow him to leap again. Marvin Harrison Jr. came into last year, one of the most polished wide receivers come out of college in history of the game, and did not play bad, but other rookies played better. And it was due to them getting more opportunity than him. It wasn't that he just didn't look good on the field. So if you watch Cardinal games, he put in work. But again, Kyler Murray, the narcissist that he is, the ego guy that he is, wouldn't allow this guy to flourish in the offense. So again, he should take the leap. He packed on some muscle in the offseason. Looks a lot bigger. See some OTA work. He's doing what Marvin Harrison do. I mean, he's gonna grab his lunch pail, put his hard hat on, come to work. That's him. He's an ultimate professional. You know what I mean? His dad, you could tell he's kind of like Larry Fitzgerald in a way. He's gonna come to work, do what he gotta do. But I'm not sure if Kyler Murray's gonna allow him to flourish the way that I know he could if he was in another place. So he's the guy I'm looking to hopefully take the next step. As far as Connor, I think he's a value way being drafted at. You know, he's dropping every year due to his age and due to the things you talked about earlier, people thinking the possibility of injury, but he just finds a way. When he's on the field, he finds a way to fall in the end zone, right? He's the goal line guy on their team. So I'm going to look at Connor as a guy that's just – wherever he finished at last year, I think you should feel the same way about him this year. Just steady Eddie. He's just going to stay right here. As long as he's healthy, he's pretty steady. Kyler Murray says he's going to run the ball more. That's yet to be seen. Let's see. He should take a smaller step up because I think he finished like 10 overall last year. He finished quarterback one. And he doesn't even run as much as he could. He runs – he's like he ran more at Oklahoma than in the league. So if he does run more, that can definitely take his value high as well.
I think with Kyler Murray, he's actually a quarterback that I may target this year. The reason I say that is because of the running capability, but also something that you just said, he's not running as much as he used to. I'm okay with that because that means he's less likely to get hurt. If Kyler Murray plays through the whole year, you're going to get him at a value based on where you can draft him at. And his range of outcomes is going to be QB1 based on the weapons that he has. He has a pass-catching running back. He has a pass-catching tight end. And he has who could end up being one of the premier wide receivers in the league. So I do like where they are. I also like the fact that their defense isn't all that good. And they're probably going to be in some shootouts where they don't have a choice but to throw the ball to Harrison and
their defense is supposed to be a little bit better this year, though. Their defense is supposed to be better this year.
I mean, it should be better. I'm assuming it will be better, but I don't think it will be good enough based on the division that they're in and the teams that they have to go against twice that they won't be in shootouts. So that's kind of where I'm at as far as is that setup is concerned. Trey McBride, I do believe, will be one of the guys that, based on where you can draft him and his output, you'll be drafting him based on what he's going to do, barring injury. And that's – you have to do that every now and then. Every position you can't get at a value, you do want to try to get as much value as you possibly can, but sometimes you just have to pay what the price tag is. And he's going to be one of those guys this year that I think – you'll be okay with paying what the price tag is based on what his consistency and production will look like. Moving on over to the Los Angeles Rams. Mm-hmm. So they have Matthew Stafford at the helm, Davante Adams, Puka Nacua, Tutu Atwell. And at running back, they have Kyren Williams, Blake Corum. Tyler Higbee is slated to be the starter, but they also have Terrace Ferguson there as well. What are we looking at as far as the Rams are concerned? More poignantly, will their best players be healthy enough to actually make the impact that you will be counting on them making based on where you would have to draft?
The sky is, I think, the limit for this offense. I think it'd be really special this year. I'm looking for everybody to take a step up. And that includes Matthew Stafford, who I think is a value at this point. Quiet is kept. People may not – it may not look good, but Davante Adams was wide receiver one last year. And yep, he's playing with a – better quarterback at this point in his career, right?
Yeah.
Puka Nacua, a whopping 40% target share on the field. Like, that's insane.
But does that continue with Adams out there?
Yeah. Yeah, because it was there when Cooper Kupp – didn't everybody thought Cooper Kupp was the favorite? He's the favorite, right? He was the kid in the front of the class with the apple at one point. And then Puka came along. And I think they both can coexist. I mean, this offense has always had two wide receivers anyway when you went to Robert Woods, right? Like, they always had two guys that can be successful because they don't utilize their tight end that much as you think. So both guys can be successful. I think they both will be. I think both – and be honest with you, I'm not surprised if both of these guys finish wide receiver one. It's going to be that – I think it's going to be that type of party, at least top 15 for both. I think both of them can do that. And I can see Stafford being a QB1, which will be a value at where he's being drafted. Of course, Kyle Williams, stud. It's all about the injury for him. As long as he's on the field, he's going to be running back one. I know you say Blake Corum, but the guy I'm watching is Jaquez Hunter. I think he's the guy that people need to be, especially in the Dynasty League. This is a guy you want to keep your eyes on, not Blake Corum. I think Blake Corum kind of showed what he can do when given opportunity. and it didn't really look too smooth last year. So they went out and spent an early draft pick on another running back. And I think this guy really fits the mold of what McVay wants to do. So if you're digging deep in the Dynasty League, keep your eyes on a guy like Jarquez Hunter. Dude's a stud. And if anything, he'll be the handcuff I'm looking for myself if something was happening to Kyron Williams.
Jarquez is basically going to end up being what we thought Blake Corum
absolutely
was going to be.
Right.
Essentially. Yeah, I agree with that. The thing that I'm looking at as far as values are concerned, you can start your drafts out with number one running back available, number one quarterback available, whatever the case may be, and still end up with the Davante Adams and Stephon Diggs. And both of them can still be wide receiver ones. Like, you don't have to go for the Jeffersons and the Chases of the world to have three wide receiver ones that you didn't have to draft in that position. Guys that did that last year, your Terry McLaurin's, I believe that people, he'll be drafted higher, but people are still going to want to see, can he do it again? So he still won't be drafted where he should be. We won't deep dive into Washington right now, but just kind of giving you the archetype of these wide receivers that you can get so much value on, and why you don't necessarily have to, you know, jump out the window in your first and second round at wide receiver. Mike Evans is still going to be available to you. Your boy out there in Tennessee, guess what? Calvin Ridley is the only wide receiver that Cam Ward has, and he loves to throw the deep ball. That's another guy that can end up being a wide receiver, one that you don't have to draft there. There's a ton of these guys. If Godwin can stay healthy, you might be able to get him and Evans, and both of them can be wide receiver. Like, it's just so many wide receivers. Nico Collins is still being disrespected. I think he's one of the best wide receivers in the game, in fantasy and in the NFL in general. You don't have to draft him in your first round. It's just guys that are going to be there that I would prefer to take the chance on in that wide receiver realm than I would prefer that in a super flex or 2B, a 2QB league, that I would hope and pray that when I get to that fourth, fifth, sixth round, whatever the case may be, that guys that I'm okay with not having to trade all the value that I got with the guys that I drafted and trading for a quarterback anyway. So Devontae is going to be the guy that I think can produce and have the most value. Puka will be the guy that I think can produce, but you're just going to have to pay for him where his ticket is, because it isn't going to get much lower. Stafford is the guy that has the most value, because if we both think that Devontae and Puka can both be ones, well, the quarterback can't be too shabby, and he's been drafted way after a lot of other guys that I don't think is in their realm of possibilities to be a QB1. So that's kind of where my head is as far as this team is concerned. Let's go ahead and talk about your squad. What's going on with the 49ers? Now, they just ended up paying Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. And so they had to kind of move on from a few familiar faces. And I would like to know how you think this is all going to pan out. So obviously you got Brock Purdy, quarterback. At tight end, you have George Kittle. Number one wide receiver, Brandon Ayuk. You have Ricky Parcell. And then Juwan Jennings is your slot guy. Obviously, we have CMC and we have Isaac Garrido. Break down your squad for me. What we got going?
Now, and I hope I'm right about this.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey should be drafted as Christian McCaffrey is old. He's ranked low. I think I see him low as the, I see him sixth running back on some things. I think I see him like 10th. I think that's insane. I think if you're in the bottom of the first round, draft him. I think you look at him as the Christian McCaffrey of old. He seems like he's 100% healthy. He changed.
Is this a prognostication into the future of our league of record? I know we normally end up drafting towards the back.
Yeah.
I ended up winning the championship in that league, so you'll be drafted just before me in that league. Are you tipping your hand right now?
I'm not tipping my hand per se, but would I take him where I'm picking at? Absolutely. Okay. But then I would have to switch my whole board around, right? Because I'm, you know. Because
you normally go wide receiver early.
Correct. So at that point, if I do take McCaffrey, then we going you know, a whole nother way with it. And that's fine. I could figure it out. But that being said, he has the easiest schedule this year. See, a lot of people ain't paying attention to that as well. Has a very easy schedule. He's healthy. And the reason he got hurt last year was due to the training. Right. It wasn't like it was an injury. It's like he trained wrong. His dad said he tried something new and ended up getting the arthritis in both Achilles, doing some dumb shit. Excuse me. But that's what his dad said. Dad's like, he was stupid. You know what I'm saying? So now he went back to what works, and now he looks 100% healthy. And again, due to the Debo being gone and Ayuk, never know, I think the offense is going to lean on him a little bit more. Again, PPR, he's a demon. He's going to catch the ball in the backfield. So I like him as an RB1 this year. I think
I'll piggyback on that right quick because, yeah, I agree. The other reason I like him being drafted where you have to draft him is because his handcuff is dirt cheap. Like, you may be able to get Isaac Garrido with one of your very last picks, and he can come in and be a wide receiver one if need be. So I think the tandem of the two running backs is where the true value lies, because we know that in the 49er system, you don't have to have CMC to get CMC-like numbers. We saw the same thing with Jordan Mason there. He's now with the Vikings. We saw the same thing with several back. We saw the same thing when your boy Mitchell, that's now in Kansas City. We saw the same thing with him until he ended up getting hurt. But whoever gets their bite at the apple tends to be productive. So the fact that I can hedge my bet as long as I get both of them is why I completely agree with you. That CMC is somebody that's kind of been slept on. And I think one of his counterparts has also been slept on. Brandon Ayuk is now going to be another one of those wide receivers that you can get a little bit later that it's in their range of possibilities to be the number one. Well, Ricky Parcells hasn't impressed me to the point where I think he's going to take targets away from a healthy Brandon Ayuk. Juwan Jennings hasn't stayed healthy enough to make me feel he doesn't have the same problem that Brandon Ayuk had. And Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle have gotten off in the same fantasy years. So I'm kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum now, where Brandon Ayuk went from being overdrafted to now he's being disrespected. So what's your lay of the land as far as the pass catchers are concerned?
I'm on Parcell. I'm sorry.
Now, you know, Parcells, well, it probably won't matter going forward, but he does currently have a hamstring injury.
Oh, that's not
those things can, you know, linger. But yeah.
Nah, I'm all in on
so
him.
You're thinking Parcells is gonna take over as the number one guy?
Absolutely. Well, I think he's gonna give you Ladd McConkley. He can give you Ladd McConkley type production.
And without the volume, because Ladd gets all the targets almost.
I think he can get the volume. If you look at Parcell, the last two games of the season, and I'm gonna say the last two games because you know he got shot, he's working his way back, different things like that. If you look at the last two games of the season, week 17 he had 28 fantasy points, and then week 18 he had 18 fantasy points, caught a touchdown in both. I think he's revving up. I just think, you know, with Debo not being there, with Ayuk not starting the season off, Jennings, he's hit and miss. I just think he's the guy that can move the chains. Of course, I think Kittle is going to probably be tight end one. He's going to be up there. overall. Like, he's going to be fighting for the overall best tight end.
Agreed.
I think from 20 to 20, I think Purcell can be magic. Again, I look at those last two games.
Is this regardless of league type, or do you have a preference as far as
PPR? PPR for sure.
Okay. Okay.
He's a PPR guy because he had 10 targets, 9 catches for 141. That's nothing to scoff at. And then he came back the next game, had 8 targets, 6 catches, only 69 yards, but had a touchdown as well. So I love Purcell. I actually made a trade for him in the league. I traded Cooper Kupp, and I got him and a couple picks. I think I got Jake Beck as well out of that move, and Royals. So I got Royals, Beck, and Purcell for Kupp. I thought that was a pretty good move for me. You know what I'm saying? But I love him moving forward, man. I think he can be a steal in your PPR leagues. I love him. That's all I can say about it. I just think he can be – again, he was drafted to – we had this conversation a year ago. Yeah. I said he was drafted to take Debo's job. Debo is gone. He is here. I just think his incident off the field has slowed his – you know, the maturation process down some, but now he's back healthy. I think he can be really special in his offense.
And of course, Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Of course, Brock Purdy, I think, you know, bottom for QB1. He's going to live there due to the offense he's in with Shanahan. I think long as he's holding the road, they'll let the weapons do the work for him. So bottom of QB1, I think Purdy's going to be around 10 to 12 all day, every day. No issues.
And last up, the Seattle Seahawks. They have several new faces, and it's going to be interesting to see how this all pans out. But I kind of feel like the Seahawks as a team, the offense has been slightly undervalued or disrespected. And we have some guys that are going to be available to you. I don't think you're going to have to draft anybody on this team very high. You got Sam Darnold. You got Kenneth Walker at running back. Zach Charbonnet, his backup. You got Cooper Kupp as the number one wide receiver. Marquez Valdes-Scantlin as the number two. And Jackson Smith and Jigba as your slot guy. And we have Noah Fant as your tight end. I am going to say that this will be your fantasy discount team that you can get whatever position that ailed you, that you were missing out on in the first few rounds of redraft. Draft one of these guys. You missed out on quarterback, draft Sam. You missed out on running back, draft Kenneth. You missed out on wide receiver, Cooper Kupp. The most in Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's going to be a PPR stud. But the guy that I think you can get very, very, very late, and he may end up being one of the only outside receivers at some point because Cooper Kupp doesn't seem to stay healthy. Marquez Valdes-Scantlin, I think he's going like late. And that's not going to change. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the only other outside receiver of note on the team is a guy that's often injured. And we saw what Marquez Valdes-Scantling did with the Saints when he was one of the only, you know, down the field wide receivers. Didn't matter who his quarterback was. Didn't matter who else was out there as far as pass catchers were concerned. So I'm kind of feeling like the offensive guys, the fantasy guys for this team will be kind of the forgotten guys. And let's not forget that I believe it's Clint Kubiak that is the offensive coordinator now. Mm-hmm. He's very rarely had a running back or system of running backs that didn't produce. So whether that's Kenneth, if he can stay healthy, whether that's Zach Charbonnet, if he can stay healthy, or whether that's Damian Martinez, I believe that all of these backs are going to have value. Martinez later on in the season, because Kenneth is going to get hurt at some point. Mm-hmm. But Zach Charbonnet could actually be the one who gets the volume of touches when all things are considered from beginning to the end. And then, again, I cannot predict injury. I can just tell you what's happened several times. So at some point in time, I kind of feel like Kenneth Walker will get nicked up. And Charbonnet will be a guy that you got for next to nothing that can end up putting up starter numbers. Between him and Damian Martinez, Damian Martinez is definitely going to be a taxi guy as far as your dynasty is concerned, but he'd be a guy that I would have on my favorites list so that I can find him quickly as far as redraft is concerned when one of the running backs in front of him gets a little nicked up. And it might not necessarily even take being nicked up, because this is the guy that the new regime drafted versus the guys that were there when they got there. So you got to kind of look at that piece of the puzzle as well. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and close us out with Seattle.
Seattle is one of the most unpredictable fantasy team, because it's all, you just never know what's where it's going to go. Yeah, Kubiak is there, and it seems like Kenneth Walker is the guy for how long. And I'm not sure if Charbonnet fits this style of scheme. I like Damian Martinez, especially at the end of the year. And in the Dynasty League, I got him as well. I just think when you're coming down the stretch, he probably could pay dividends. He probably could be a league winner. So that's a guy that you want to pay attention to. I think he could be a league winner for you at the end. And again, Sam Darnold, I don't know. But if you're in a Dynasty League, and also maybe if you're in the redraft and there's a big roster, I'm taking Milrow. Milrow can pay dividends again down the stretch, week 17, week 16. Maybe these some when maybe this season is over, right? Maybe they got four wins and it's week 15 or 16, and then you see that they turn to the Milrows and Damon and Martinez of the world. I think these guys can pay dividends down the road. So these are guys I'm more, taking a liking to. I understand they got Cooper Kupp and JSN, but I don't know how these guys are going to look with Sam Darnold at the helmet. We've seen Sam Darnold. I picked him last year, right? I picked him to be the guy. He did it in Minnesota. Similar offense, but now he's in Seattle. I just don't know. I was more confident in Minnesota than I am with him being with Kubiak. So it's just so much uncertainty that I'm kind of really staying away from all these players in redraft, to be honest with you.
That's the reason I'm not staying away from them, because of what you just said, the uncertainty. Somebody's going to be the guy, and all of them were being drafted so late that you didn't have to – how would I say?
Yeah, but that means –
you didn't give up much value. Like, where Cooper Kupp is going to go, if he hits – it was a lottery ticket. You didn't have to leave someone else of importance on the board. Scantling, for sure, that's a lottery ticket. You're not going to have to worry about the other value that you left on the board. The same thing with the running backs. Because of what you're saying, it's going to scare a lot of people off because we don't know. But if they happen to hit, it's again, this is a lottery ticket team. The whole team is a lottery ticket based on what you're going to have to draft.
Yeah, but you know the chances of hitting the lottery is what? And
but I'm willing to give up a dollar. I'm okay with giving up a dollar to win a million. Like it makes zero sense to some, and it makes sense to a whole lot of others. But
again, I feel you with Cooper Kupp, yeah, because he's like wide receiver 49, right? So yeah, if you want
to
get him,
you know what I'm saying. You're going to be able to draft them as like Marcus Valdes-Scantling can likely be the last pick of your draft. Like that's how far he's probably going to fall.
But a guy like
Cooper Kupp at 49.
But a guy like Njigba's at 17, and that's when that lottery ticket is not quite a lottery ticket.
I agree.
Now you're screaming, you know what I'm saying? So
you're getting him at face value. Everybody else you're getting at a value.
There you go.
But we don't know if Sam Darnold is actually going to throw to what we've seen from Sam is he goes to the outside. And if he goes to the outside, that hurts Jackson Smith and Jigba, but it makes the guys that are going that much lower than they should be that much more value, if that makes sense. So, but that's why I'm labeling them the lottery ticket team. I'm gonna draft these guys when I get sniped. When I'm in the realm of where they're being drafted, but the person that I thought I was going to get, the person before me got Diggs. Okay, I'm going to go Cooper Kupp. The person before me got Mixon. Okay, I'll go Walker. like something like that. It's not going to be guys that I am focusing on. It's just guys that I'm going to remember based on how far I think they're going to end up falling due to the fact that people have that same leeriness that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that pretty much wraps it up for us for this week. Next week, we will be going to the NFC North and making sure we break down everything that you're going to need to go there. So you can go ahead and get yourself prepared and trading or getting rid of guys in Dynasty, preparing yourself for redraft, all that kind of good stuff. But guys, remember, always tell the truth and nothing but the truth. This week, we out. We'll see you next week. Be easy.